May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text upon which we'll base our meditation this morning is found in the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark, beginning with verse 21 as follows. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. So far, the Holy Word. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who, especially during this period of Epiphany, is declared among us to be the Son of God with power, dear fellow redeemed. Who holds ultimate authority in the United States of America? If I asked you that question, what would your answer be? Perhaps the first person that comes to mind, obviously, is the President of the United States. He probably has more political power and authority than any other single individual in our country. But the power of the executive in our government is checked by the power of the legislative and the judicial branches. And of course, his power is subject to the power of the people, who have the right to re-elect or not elect him every 4 years. What about the Supreme Court? You might think of them as the ultimate authority in America. And yet even they are subject to the people in a way, aren't they? Because through the Constitution, they are under the authority of the people. So perhaps it's the American people themselves who possess the ultimate authority. But I don't think that's true either. Not if we're speaking in absolute terms anyway, because of course in absolute terms, there is one power that is much superior to any of the ones I've mentioned. An authority that is above the President and the Congress and the Senate and every other authority in government on earth. That authority, of course, is the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, our Lord holds an authority that extends even beyond the visible world that we can see around us. And that's a very good thing, says the Apostle Paul, because our worst enemies are not the ones that we can see. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Maybe you've been feeling the influence of the devil's dark power in your life lately, tempting you, trying to draw you off the paths of righteousness. Maybe you've been sinfully allowing other less important authorities to encroach upon and to overrule the authority of the Lord Jesus in your life. In either case, today's text will snap you back to reality. It's an account from early in our Lord's ministry, and it proves once and for all, in the words of our theme, that Jesus is the ultimate authority. He demonstrates it in his word, and he demonstrates it in his works. Capernaum, as you may be aware, was a city in the northern region of Galilee in Israel. It lay along the northwestern shore of the Sea of Galilee. It was a fisherman's village. It was near here that Jesus called his first disciples, who were themselves fishermen. Capernaum, in fact, became a sort of adopted hometown for Jesus. It was in and around Capernaum that Jesus did much of his teaching, and it was in this area that he performed many of his mightiest miracles. None mightier, though, than the one he performed in the events that our text relate for today. How can we Christians say so confidently that Jesus is the ultimate authority? Well, first of all, because he demonstrates it in his word, which he certainly did that day in the synagogue at Capernaum. Our text says they, Jesus and his disciples, went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. By the way, before we pass this by, it's good to notice this point. Where was Jesus on the Sabbath day? He was in the Lord's house. He was in church. I hardly need to mention that that's where you and I need to be too. As one writer put it, on the Lord's day, in the Lord's house, with the Lord's people, gathered around the Lord's word. That's where Jesus was always found. And that's where he and his disciples were found on that particular Sabbath day there in the town of Capernaum. As was customary for visiting teachers, Jesus was asked to speak to the people in the synagogue. The people in the synagogue no doubt expected that. But what happened next was completely unexpected. And they were astonished at his teaching. Why? Because he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Astonished is kind of a lame translation of the Greek, by the way. Really, that word in the original means to be struck with amazement as with a blow. Stunned might be a better word. Have you ever seen someone who was so astonished by something they heard that they looked as if someone had just struck them with a 2x4? That was the reaction of the people in that synagogue. They could hardly believe their ears. They were amazed and confused. But amid all the confusion, one thing remained perfectly clear to them. This teaching that Jesus brought had great authority. It was totally unlike the teaching they were used to listening to, the teaching of the scribes. The scribes focused on the minutiae of Jewish law and tradition, how many steps a person could take on the Sabbath day, the exact quarter of a minute when the Sabbath day began, all sorts of other things like what proportion of garden herbs needed to be dedicated to the Lord. Jesus was different. His words, obviously, were not the words of a man, but the words of God. There was no comparison. Jesus demonstrated his ultimate authority by the authoritative word that he spoke to them. It's still true today, isn't it? All the other teachings in the world contrast with the teaching of Christ because his is the ultimate authority. Our Lord's word to us in the Holy Scriptures is inspired and inerrant. Scripture is an absolutely reliable source of truth upon which we can safely base our life, our beliefs, our confession. There are no myths, no errors in it. It is our ultimate authority. Sadly, there are many Christians, people who call themselves Christians, who do not act as if it were the ultimate authority in their lives. They take the word of scientists that this earth is billions of years old rather than the word of God that says it was created in 6 natural days. They take the word of shallow evangelists who preach the social gospel or the prosperity gospel instead of the reliable, authoritative word of God and the true gospel. Or perhaps worst of all, they give more authority to their own feelings and their own opinions than they do to the authoritative, unchanging, inerring word of God. As the apostle said, "Beloved, these things ought not so to be." For in reality, nothing can stand in opposition to the ultimate authority of God's word. A naval historian named Frank Cook tells how, as a young midshipman on the bridge of a battleship during maneuvers, he was present off the coast of New England one dark and foggy night when suddenly the watchman reported a light approaching quickly off the starboard bow of the battleship. The captain immediately had his signaler send the message, "We are on a collision course. Please alter your course 20 degrees. The message was flashed back, "Unable to comply, please alter your course 20 degrees. Annoyed, the captain sent the message again and again received the same response. Finally, enraged, he had his signaler send the message, "Alter your course immediately. This is a battleship of the United States Navy." The message came back, "Unable to comply. This is a lighthouse." Needless to say, it was the battleship that altered its course. You know, God's word is a lot like that lighthouse. It illuminates our lives. Scripture says it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. But it is also immovable. God's word will never move, and it will never change. Everything else in our life, in fact, everything else in the world, has to alter course and accommodate itself to the unchanging, unerring authority of God's word. As Isaiah says, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." Now, the world around us can oppose that word, ridicule that word, and belittle the word and us for believing it. They can do that as much as they want, but eventually they'll learn the truth that when you set yourself on a collision course with the word of God, it is not the word that will finally be shipwrecked, it is you. Jesus says the same in John chapter 12. "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." Jesus is the ultimate authority. Come back to the authority of God's word. Come and sit at the feet of Jesus, as Mary did, as the people in the synagogue that day did. You will be astonished at what you hear. Listen to the good news that despite your sins and flaws and failures, the Lord has made a way for you to escape. "Come now and let us reason together," says the Lord. "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Bring your sins to Jesus, repent of them, and hear him in his authoritative word declare your total and unconditional pardon. "In Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Yes, we know that Jesus is the ultimate authority. We know it from his unalterable and his authoritative word. But we know it from something else too. Because Jesus shows his power not only in his words, but in his mighty works as well. Part two, Jesus is the ultimate authority because he demonstrates it in his works. Jesus performed many mighty miracles and signs and works in Galilee, but few more mighty and miraculous than the one he performed in that synagogue the day of our text. One stunning event followed another on that day. No sooner had the people replaced their jaws after Jesus' stunning teaching from God's word than a demon-possessed man burst into their worship service. As you know, demon possession was quite common in the days of Christ. Possibly it was the devil, and during this time that Jesus was present on earth with his physical body, it was the devil marshaling all his evil forces to combat the Lord. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." When you were young and your parents addressed you by your whole name, first, middle, and last, what did that usually mean? It usually meant you were in trouble. It meant that they were expressing their authority over you, didn't it? Usually came right before a paddling. Here, the demon uses Christ's entire name, Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy One of God, almost as if by addressing him with his full title, he can somehow stake out some authority over him. That didn't work, for Jesus is the ultimate authority. Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Jesus, with a few simple, authoritative words, "Be silent, come out," he turned that man's life around. He performed an astonishing miracle. A man who had been bound body and soul by the devil for who knows how many long years was suddenly released and presented back to his neighbors, sane and sober and in his sound mind. A mighty work, an astonishing work, so much so that they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." People had all kinds of questions that day, but one thing they had no question about was Jesus' authority, his absolute authority. For Christ displays ultimate authority not only in his words, but in his works. Have you ever been exorcised? Ever had a devil cast out of you? You might be surprised to learn that you have. In fact, every person is born into this world by nature the possession of the devil. The carnal mind is enmity against God, Scripture says. But every Christian at his baptism renounces the devil and all his works and all his ways, has the devil cast out of him through the power of God. And in fact, that portion of the baptism liturgy is officially called the exorcism, with good reason. For when the Lord brings you into his kingdom of grace by giving you faith, the devil is cast down and cast out of the throne of your heart, and Jesus takes his place there instead. Yes, Jesus demonstrates his ultimate authority in his powerful works, also in your life. It was a powerful miracle he performed that day in the synagogue in Capernaum. But is it any less of a miracle that he has cast Satan out of your heart and caused you to believe the gospel? If you feel the way I do, that's a much bigger miracle by far. That a wretched sinner like me, with my history and my sins and all the corrupt transgressions against God's commandments of which I've been guilty, that a wretched sinner like me shall be called the Son of God? Why, it's a miracle that the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary's cross should actually be applied to cover all of my sins, that my name, too, might be written in God's book of life, that in my case, too, Satan might be robbed of his authority and see his prey taken from him and witness in utter defeat me being carried away to the gates of heaven by my Lord Jesus Christ. That's a miracle, if you ask me. Is not that the most stunning and astonishing miracle of all? Cannot you and I and every Christian make the same claim? With wonder in his voice, the Apostle John says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God." It's with that same wonder and joy and astonishment that we gather here around that authoritative word each Sunday. With the same wonder and joy and astonishment, you can walk through those doors after church is over this morning and carry that joy and astonishment with you when you go back to work tomorrow morning. And it is with wonder and joy and astonishment that you and I will greet our Savior when we arrive in the mansions of heaven one day. In his book, The Invincible Christ, Massey Mott Heltzel once said, "I am far within the mark when I say that all the armies that have ever marched, and all the navies that were ever built, and all the parliaments that ever sat, and all the kings that ever reigned put together, have not affected the life of mankind on this earth as powerfully as that one solitary life, the life of Jesus Christ." Jesus is the ultimate authority. He demonstrates it in his word, and he demonstrates it in his works. God grant that we may constantly acknowledge and confess that authority in our lives until that day when we bow our knees and when our tongues joyfully confess that name before his almighty throne of judgment. Amen. Please rise.